But as we go into our last series on Week on Boundaries, I want to encourage you guys, if you have not listened, go on the website and listen over the last 3 weeks. It really helps outline what we've been talking about and the importance of us setting boundaries in our life, because God sets boundaries with us. And so even from the garden, when he set up boundaries with Adam and Eve and said, listen, you can eat of everything that's here, just don't eat of that tree, God said there's a purpose in it. And what God is actually looking for, he's looking for health and prosperity in your life, but he knows that there are certain things that you just cannot partake of and you cannot be involved in. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I realize that he is not into things being toxic in your life. And so he wants things that are healthy because he's interested in you. How many of you know God's interested in you? And so if God's interested in you, then he goes to great lengths to help protect you and to really put you in a position in your life where you're growing and when you're healthy. And so we're going to look at this this last week, and hopefully today it's going to encourage you, and it's really going to challenge you that you're supposed to be ruling in life. Whatever you're not ruling in life is ruling you. So if you have not made that thing subject to you, then you're a slave to it. And so when you look at this idea of rulership, it really started in the book of Genesis. And as they put up the scripture, we're going to read it, and we'll go through it. And I believe God's going to speak to you today. And it said in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so this idea of rulership, number one, started with God, because we know he's the ruler of all the universe. But number two, he told them, he said, listen, I want you to rule over what I created. And when you look at the definition of what rule is, it really means this. Subdue, it means to bring into bondage, go into rule. It means to have dominion or rule or dominate. And so when you look at this idea of subdue, to bring into bondage, God never wanted you to walk into bondage in your life. Never. We gave up that right when Adam and Eve sinned. That right and sin entered into the world. And what happens is we began to walk into bondage because of sin. And so that idea of bondage was never God's idea. And so if there's something in your life right now that you feel like you're a slave to, that is not God's idea for you. And so God tries to go through great lengths to get you free from that. But our issue and our problem is that we continue to gravitate back to what is unhealthy in our life for us, because sometimes it's easier for us to gravitate to what's really comfortable for us rather than break free into something new into our life. And so if you're not careful, you can really walk around like a slave when God has called you to walk around like sons and daughters. And so I'm looking at kings, I'm looking at queens today, I'm looking at royalty today. I'm not looking at paupers, and I'm not looking at people who owe anybody anything. The Bible says that we need to owe people just the debt of love. That's it. And so if you're not healthy, especially in your emotions and in your life, what happens is you can become a slave to what people are doing rather than what God is asking you to do in your life. And so what is it right now that God is asking you to do that you are concerned about what other people's responses are going to be? And because of that concern, you're really missing out on the freedom that God has called you to walk in your life. And so we talk about this idea of freedom not being free. It's not free. Jesus paid for it. But in your life, you're going to have to break free from some things, and you're going to have to pay a price for it. And are you willing to pay a price to be free? And most people like to shout for joy, and they like to, I want to be free. And then God says, okay, well, this is what you need to do. I need you to separate here. I need you to apply a boundary here. I need you to do this. Well, hold on. Wait. That's my comfort zone. I can't do that. Well, no, you want freedom. But listen, I want to give you freedom, but I also want to give you boundaries at the same time. I can't give you one without the other. Because then you have lawlessness. Isn't that why he placed a tree there? I give you freedom, but I'm not into lawlessness. Here's one thing I'm asking you not to do. Don't do that thing. And of course, they did that thing. And it's the one thing that we are often tested on in our life, where God says, there is everything that I've given you here. This is your parameters. This is your space. Operate here. But that one thing, I don't want you to cross over that area. Don't cross that area. Because for you, it's detrimental. And really, you have to know you and understand you to know what that means for you. For some of you, it's a temptation, or God has allowed you to experience weakness in your life to know that, listen, I can't handle that certain thing. So I need to stay away from it. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this: what unique expression is God calling or asking us to live out of here on this earth? And so you have to know for you that God has uniquely designed and created you specifically. And he is expressing himself through you. So what is that unique expression? It's not like everybody else's expression. And so if you're trying to be like everybody else, you're missing the whole point of it. You are a misfit. When God saved you, he didn't save you because you were normal. He saved you because you were already crazy. And you had things that you were dealing with in your life. Some of you remember what it looked like to live in that nature. God didn't save you and say, okay, now it's going to be normal. Living the Christian life is anything but normal. You are not normal. You are a spirit being that has a soul that is wrapped in flesh. And so now you worship God in spirit and in truth. You are in a different place and a different level. And so there are things that happen in your life that don't make sense. And some would say that are weird. It's because you are. You serve a God that has given you a heavenly prayer language that bypasses what the enemy can understand because he wants to communicate with you on a different level. You already are abnormal and weird. And so to be able to understand that, you just have to just accept the fact that I'm already unique, I'm already created. Listen, I understand this idea. People give people who get tatted up in their bodies and they give them, they get a really bad name because like, man, I can't believe they would express themselves that way. And I look at it this way. Coming from a world sense, a Christian will look at them and say, listen, how could you do that to your body? But it's their way of expressing who they are. And it does not mean they're not suffering the same amount of pain that you are on the inside. They're just expressing it a different way, okay? And you have to understand that that's their creative outlet that they use. Whether or not you agree with it or not, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't. So for you, what is your creative outlet or expression that God has asked you to live out of in your life? And some of you right now, I can't stand people with tattoos. Well, you had to just ask Jesus to help you. I got one, okay? So you just got to ask them. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, okay, we're not going to go all the way into a day, but know the point. Creatively in your life, are you living like God has called you to live in that creative space and that outlet for you? Some of you, God has given gifts and talents in, but you rely on what you can do. You don't ask God to show you the things that he has placed inside of you that you have not seen yet. And so oftentimes in our life, God brings us into seasons in our life where it forces us to create. It forces us to get outside the normal and the box so that you can understand the way God understands. God is a creator, and he understands what it is to create. He's unique. He created everything around us, the universe, the fish, the birds, everything that flows. Everything is so intrinsically wired together and connected, and it's God's expression of what he did. And it didn't take God long to do it. God did it, and it came out of his mind. You do understand that all of this came out of God's mind, that he saw it first. And so if you can see that, when God does things in your life, it really is birthed in your spirit, but it comes out of your mind. That's why there's such a fight over the mind. Because the idea of creating was God's idea. And so when you go to try something new, everything inside of you that opposes that tries to come against it and say, you know what, you can't do that because that's not the norm. But you have to understand you already are not normal. And so to begin to create and to think differently is already acting like God. And so you've got to come into alignment to the way he thinks. When you begin to create and do things, it's not stupid and it's not dumb. Case in point, when you're younger and you're in art class and you start to finger paint, it doesn't make sense. It's nasty. You're just doing some artwork and you're getting all your fingers done and the kids are like this. Isn't this great? Not really. But it's a creation. And it helps them begin to think differently. What happened in your life that caused you to stop thinking differently? You got stuck because of something. And because of that, you're on cruise control. I don't want to try nothing else. Because back then I got stuck. And God said, listen, I appreciate what you've been through in your life, But I'm a creative God, and I can still create things in your life and opportunities that you have not seen. And so if you're still trying to figure out who God is, that's going to take you a lifetime. But you do have to understand the one thing about him is that he's always creating and doing something new. That's why you cannot rely on the old. You can be thankful for what he's done and have learned the lessons in your life. But God brings you into a different creative expression in your life into different seasons because God is always doing something new. He never changes, but you haven't seen all of God. And in reality, you haven't seen all of you. So how well do you know you? Well, that's kind of an odd question. What does that mean? Well, yeah, we like to say, well, how well do you know that person? Well, yeah, I've known him a long time. Real, I know President Bush. I know him. You don't know him. You've heard of him. We like to say, well, I'm in a relationship with them, and I kind of have an understanding of who they are. But in reality, have you come to grips with who you are and understand who you are created to be? Because when you can do that, then you can begin to slide into your gift set, your talents, and understand how you're wired. And until you can get there, you'll be frustrated trying to walk in somebody else's lane that God never called you to walk in the first place. There are marathon runners. There are short distance runners. There are people who do high jump. You're not all three of those things, but you're one of them. You can do all three, but you might be great at one. So for you, what does that look like? How well do you know you? And it's not in the healthy sense. How well do you know you? I know my strengths. I know some of my weaknesses. And listen, I am getting to know me. And so excuse me if I am changing and there are things that are happening in my life and that God is doing something different and expanding my mind to think differently. And it doesn't necessarily have to fit what you think because God doesn't do it that way. And God is so masterful at this because he invites us to come in on this journey and say, come up with me, my beloved, and I will show you some things that you have not seen before. Call unto me, and I will show you things that you don't even know and have not even seen yet. And so, but in order for you to do that, you have to leave your normal way of thinking and come up into me, and let's begin to think like I think because I can take something and bring a lot out of it. So you can't keep thinking like you're thinking and expect that you're going to get what God has for you, especially if you keep hitting a wall. I keep hitting a wall. Okay, well, that means that God is probably trying to help me understand or see something that I have not seen yet, because that's the way he does, and cause me to think differently in my life. Some of it, and Chris said it last week, it's all about perspective. It's a perspective change. We want God to change the situation, and God does want to change the situation, but more often than not, he's trying to change your perspective, and in reality, what he's trying to do is change the way you think. If I could change the way you think, then what will happen is that you'll believe differently, and then once you believe differently, you will actually act and do it. Practice does not make perfect. It makes permanent, to where you just do it. It's just a natural thing that I do right now. Case in point, think about some things in your life right now that just come naturally to you. I just do this. It's just a natural thing. You know how many times you've done that thing before? You don't even recognize it. And all of a sudden, it just becomes secondhand to you, and it's natural. There are things that I do right now that I look back and I say, you know what? I was practicing years ago. And all of a sudden, now I just do it secondhand. But it's a permanent thing. And God will allow you to go through different seasons to practice. And then all of a sudden, so it becomes permanent. And so the next time you come into a season, you recognize and remember God's faithfulness and who he was. It's just a thing for you. You just know that he's faithful. It's not like, well, I just doubt God. No, I just know he's faithful. I know he's going to take care of me. Why? Because I practiced the presence of God last season. And I know who he is now. So when I go into this season, there might be some uncertainty, and that's okay. But I know that God's going to take care of me, and he's faithful. Because practice makes permanent. And so God brings some things in your life right now and says, okay, I want you to try this. All right, you didn't get it the first time. All right, get up and do it again. And all of a sudden, you just start doing it. And it becomes part of who you are. in your life. Me and my brother-in-law are talking about this the other day. We're in the gym. Most of you know that we're involved in a gym, and we do a lot of that, and Lewis is involved. And the fact of the matter is that people come in, and they have no idea what they're doing. And they come in, and you look at them, and things are out of whack. They're not doing things right. And the reality is that they never have been taught, or it's never become ingrained in them, that this is the way that it should be done. And we talked about all they need and what they really need is repetition. They got to keep doing it. And so it just becomes secondhand. So when they come in, all of a sudden they know, I got to straighten up here, I got to bend down. It's just repetition. And so it's the same way in your life. Listen, some of you have been taught, but incorrectly. And so God has to come in, and your nature is now rewired. But how many of us, we know we've been rewired, but we still live out of the effects of the old nature. And that's what God's trying to kill. So that the new nature and the new rewiring match up. So that we're actually walking in faith and in joy and in peace and thinking differently. And it just becomes something that we do. It's just natural now. Yeah, it's natural. I know the enemy is going to bring opposition. It's natural. It's not new for me. You know something odd is going to happen, but that doesn't thwart me anymore. I've already been through that. I know I've worked through that already. I already know who that is. You're done. I'm going to keep moving. Because all that shows me is that I'm on the right path and that God is working out all things together for those who love God and are called to go. Listen, his presence in my life is just a sign that I know I'm doing something for God and I know I'm walking where I need to walk. Because he's bothered. And in reality, if God didn't allow him to bother me, then I wouldn't even know sometimes that God was even with me. Sometimes we think, well, he's just on this, the enemy's just on this long leash and that he can do whatever he wants. And in reality, the confidence is this. Unless God says, you can go this far, but don't do this, he can't do it. So don't think that God allows the enemy to do whatever he wants to do and there's no parameters and there's nothing that he places around him and that, no, listen, he's going to overtake me. Don't think that way. God's got him set up for your training. Remember, we're talking about ruling today. We're getting through it. Ruling. And so it's about your training. It's not just ruling here. I'm setting you up to rule for eternity. And if you can't whip him, when he's already defeated. It's not like you're fighting a devil who's not been defeated. Do you realize that? We get to this point in our life, we're like, man, he's just winning. And you don't understand. He's already defeated. This is just the after party for him. This is the sore loser party. I lost. And so I'm just going to poke you and prod you and bring up that old stuff and try to get you frustrated and try to get you angry and all this stuff. All that stuff is nothing. This is the after party, son. You are there and you're going to stay there. Listen, and by the way, thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you, devil. I want to thank the Lord for just, I want to thank the Lord and just praise him for allowing you to be used to help me get better so that I could understand the actual son that I am and the actual royalty that I am because of who I am in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for showing me the fact that Jesus loves me enough to come in and really bother me and get me to the point where I'm all frustrated because what you do now is that now you wake me up and now you get me to a point right now where the gloves are coming off and I'm taking my sleeves down a little bit because now we're engaged in this thing. And so we're engaged. The problem is that most people, they don't stay engaged long enough. We're trying to see God, and you want God to do a breakthrough. We don't stay engaged long enough in the process in order to actually see what God is doing. You remember that rain cloud in the Old Testament that was like this size of a man's hand? How many times did the guy have to go up and look at that thing? Seven. He keep going up. I don't see nothing. Keep going up. I don't see nothing. No, go back up. Go back up. Okay, all right. Go back up. Twice. All right. Twice is enough. Come on. All right. No. Go back up. Okay. Seven times the guy goes back. Seven times. And finally he says, well, you know what? Wait, I do see. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And sometimes in your life, you have to keep getting back up and just go, I'm going to keep going until I see something. I don't see it. I don't see it right now, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep going. And all of a sudden, as I'm doing that, God is expanding my faith and expanding my vision to say, well, it's not about what I see. It's about believing, and then I see. And all of a sudden, I begin to see that God is doing something in my life because it's not by what I see or necessarily what I'm feeling. It's what I see in the Spirit. It's what faith is doing something in me now. Now I can see it. And then when God says, there it is, then it builds my faith up, and now I can keep going back. And it causes me to want to keep going. That's just how it goes. And so the enemy keeps coming in, so you're not going to see it. Yeah, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. Because you should have got me when I was 10. And for most of us, that's how long he's been fighting. For years. You should have killed me a long time ago. But now you've got me into a position right now where it's no holds barred. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to see God's kingdom come. And I'm going to do whatever it takes for the will of God to take place in my life. Because of what he's done for me, I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to quit now. See, you play too nice. You're playing too nice with this guy. And you don't realize the reality of the fact that his assignment is to take you out and to kill you. To kill you. Because if he can kill you, he can kill the thing that is within you. Isn't that what the fight is over? You're nice. But it's really about that one that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So when you entered into this thing, you entered into a warfare. You entered into something that is violent. You entered into something that is tenacious. You entered into something that is real. And so God has called you to actually win and to rule in this thing. It has nothing to do with me succumbing to what's coming into my life, because it's easier for me sometimes just to succumb to it because it's hard. But God doesn't want you to succumb to it. God wants you to come against it. Come against it. And next time something's happening in your life, do not do what most people do. I thought he loved me, and turn this way. You come against that thing and say, no, I thank you, Jesus, you love me, that this is happening right now. Because you want to move me from faith to faith and from glory to glory, from this place to this place. And that's the way it happens. That's the way he moves you. When things are uncomfortable and they're hard and you know that he's changing things, that's the way that he moves you. So if he's moving, move with him. Because he knows something that you don't know. We got to get up into this thing, guys. I'm telling you, you got to get up into this thing and not just sit and be like, well, this is good. I just don't know what's going on. You understand and you do know what's going on. As Christians in here, most of us are, you understand that there is a spiritual battle and warfare that is taking place. So this is not something new. There's not some malaise that's over your face. Like, you're not an unbeliever, most of you. I don't understand. The God of this word has blinded my. You're not an unbeliever. Okay. What's going on? You know what's going on. It's just you matter. Understand. Let's step into it, Lord. What are you trying to show me? And what are we trying to accomplish in my life? Because you actually have something for me. Remember, when you get weak on, well, man, this life, understand that God is not just doing something about here. He's getting you ready for eternity. It's eternity. And some might say, well, I'm close. Yeah, you're closer than others. But be thankful. Be thankful. That the journey for some is almost done. And this is not something to be ashamed of or something to say, oh, man, my life's over. Are you kidding me? It's something for you to be excited about, to say, Lord, how are we going to finish this? Lord, what are we doing next in my life? What's the next expression in my life? It doesn't matter how old, what's the next expression, because I'm not living for here. You know that also, that he's taking you up with him. So while we're here, why don't we make the biggest impact that we can, not worried about what everybody else is going to say? Let's just do what God has asked us to do and do it. And this is where boundaries come in. Because in order for you to do it, you have to be able to separate things in your life that are toxic for you. Have to. And so what happens is most people, they come in and they think, well, the devil's after me. And a lot of times it's not really the devil. It's God doing some work in your life to try to help you to get healthy and set up some boundaries. Most often, it's just you. And because you're not healed or you're not whole in an area, all the enemy is doing is taking that and working it right back at you. And saying, okay, you know, they don't love you. You know it. But it's not that. As the Christian, we know what our aim is to please the one who enlisted us. It's about the journey, yeah. But you understand, you're in warfare right now. You're in warfare. So let's break this down a little bit as we get ready to close. There's four areas that we focus on here. You've been here long enough, you know what we focus on. And really in our life, what is God trying to do with you in this area? Number one, physically. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not your own anymore. So are you taking care of your body? Most often people will say, listen, I just don't feel well. Well, number one, look at what you're doing, putting in your body. Number two, are you sleeping well? Number three, are you working out? There we go again. If you're not doing any of those three things, your body will probably not be in the position that it needs to be. Just the way it goes. Okay? Physically, what are you doing? Are you ruling your body? Are you ruling it? Are you taking care of it? That's why people are in the gym incessantly, getting their body in place so that they can handle, and people would say, handle life when it comes at them. They're trying to build a good core so that they can engage in life and stay stable when things come at it. It's the same way in what God does with us. I'm trying to build on your core so that you can be more flexible to do the things that I've asked you to do, but not leave the center of who you know, who you belong to. So physically, are you ruling over your life physically? Second, emotionally, are you being led by your emotions or are you being led by the Spirit? The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It has nothing to do with whether or not I feel like it or not. Because if I felt like it, most of the time, I probably would not do it. But it's about being led by the Spirit of God. And that allows me to come into agreement with the fact that it has nothing to do with my emotional state at that time. If God is asking me to do something, that I just need to be obedient. Because if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, it has nothing to do with what God says, hey, Kathy, how do you feel emotionally about this? Or how do you feel emotionally about this, Barry? Because if God would went on your emotions, you wouldn't go. What he's asking you to do is be led by the Spirit. And as you do that, all of a sudden, God can bring healing and also bring your emotions up to speed. As you go and as you're led, God knows how to bring everything under his subjection and his submission. He knows. And so for some of us, we've got to get this area right emotionally. And we talk about that here at this church, emotionally. How do you feel about yourself? Do you have a healthy view of who you are? And have you been able to set up boundaries in your life so that you can hear God clearly when he says, listen, I need you to do this, and not be concerned about, well, what does this mean for fill in the blank? Does not mean you don't look at things from all angles, but it does mean that your obedience to God is more important to whether or not someone else feels like you're being obedient to God or not. And this is hard to hear. There's silence, and it's okay. Because people, whether or not we're honest enough, we care more about what someone else says than what God says. And it takes God a long time to get us to that point. Because he knows that relationally, he's called us to be in community. And it takes him a long time to finally get us to that point where we say, yes, God. A long time of being uncomfortable, a long time of things not going right, and the grace lifting in order for us to get to the point where we finally say, okay. And it would be easier if we would just do it, but it didn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. And God clears things out. Because if we know anything about God, it's that God is serious about what he asks us to do. Whether or not you think he forgets it or not, he is serious about it. There's a call in your life There's a call on your life. I'm serious about it. And you can try to walk around and pretend like it's not there. And we can walk around and go around the wilderness for 40 years. But listen, it's still there. It's like one of these things. God, the giftings and callings are irrevocable. So if God's called you to do something, it's not like, well, 20 years haven't gone by, it's gone. I believe there are certain things that you can miss. Yes, I do. However, there are also things that I believe that it takes you longer to get there than you should. But it doesn't mean that you're disqualified from it. And so if God is getting you to a position until you finally say yes, it's there for a reason, because God knows that the blessing is there. It's there. And so God's got to work through emotional. That's why counselors are there. That's why people are there, to help you work through stuff, so that really what it comes down to is, well, I'm afraid of, that's it. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of being lonely. I'm afraid of people not understanding me. Until you can actually get to that point, you won't get to that point where you can confidently say, you know what, Lord, it doesn't matter. I recognize who I am, but you're more important. And that's what God is asking for. Am I more important than, number one, the way you feel and what you think other people's responses are going to be? Isn't that what it comes down to? Because when we stand before God on that last day and God calls us up, he's not calling you and your friends up. Come on, Misty, bring Malia. Bring Toby. No. I got them in a minute. Baby. And he's going to look at us. Isn't that the thing that you know you're living for? You love your friends. Not more than God. So one day he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And he looks at all these things in your life. Yeah, you brought them with you. That's good, but... And really, in reality, did you fulfill my unique expression for you in the earth? Financially, Bible says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And it's a tough area for people because they get tripped up. All I know is this, I believe God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. That's it. It's better to give than receive. So are you in a season of your life where God is trying to hone in some of your talents and skills so that you can provide for your family or so that you can live a blessed life? It's okay. Some of you, that means you might have to do some things that are a little bit different. It's okay. We can't think that the way we do it is only the right way. God has different ways that he wants to do things in our life. That's just who he is. If you're talking about the creator of a God who puts coins in the mouths of fishes and says, listen, go to the lake, you'll find a fish, open it up, you find the coin. You're talking about that type of God? Then you know that God's got some creative methods and ideas for you in your life. And sometimes that involves you in the creativity, because you begin to see how creative you are. All of a sudden, I begin to create this thing in my life. Man, it's starting to work. Why? Because you're using you. God's showing, listen, this is inside of you, and you're waiting for God just to bless you. Just give me it, Lord, give me it. And God says, okay, listen, I want you to use you. Use your gifts. Work it. And I'll bless you. It doesn't take me much to bless you. But what I'm more interested in is your development, and I'm more interested in you coming out. Some of you are trying to stay in. If you're going to survive in this life and thrive, you got to come out with your giftings and your talents. But then it goes back to Maria being emotionally healthy. Well, I got this stuff, but what if I'm not accepted? What if I'm rejected? What if I try and I fail? Is that worth staying stuck and staying inward as opposed to getting out and trying something? You can't tell me God looks up and says, man, I wish they would play it safe. Play it safer. Stop. Play it safer. God is looking and saying, listen, Don't play it safe. Believe me. Perfect love casts out fear. Listen, your mistakes, your failures do not upset me and do not bother me. All I'm asking you to do is try and to get out and do it. And we get upset, but God's not going to let you stay there. But I suppose if you want to, and you're okay with it, maybe he won't bother you anymore. Lord forbid it that you stop bothering me. Help me to say yes continually. Because you're seeing stuff happen in your life. If you're at a point in your life right now where you're just saying yes to God and you're just trying stuff, it's a good place to be in. Because God wants you to be there and trust that he's a good father. Last thing is spiritually. The Bible does say that we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and that the just shall live by faith. This is really the anchor for it all. It's the anchor. If I don't have a relationship with Jesus, all these other things don't really matter. So if I'm not strong in my foundation, when God asks me to do things, I don't have the emotional bandwidth to do it. Physically, I'm not in a great spot to do it because I know if I look at my life, I have a tendency just to, I'm not saying for you individually, but look at it this way. I have a tendency to start things and quit, so, because it gets too hard. And if it's hard, then it's not a God. And then financially, it's like, I don't even try that anymore. If you don't have a strong foundation in Jesus and know who you are and know whose you are, you're not going to make progress in these areas. And so what God will ask you to, you'll start to apply some boundaries in here because you know, okay, I know who Jesus is. I know he called me to be. I'm emotionally healthy enough to say, no, this is who I am. These are some of my boundaries and I'm okay. This is what I do with my finances. I feel like God's called me to do this. Physically, I'm taking care of my body right now because we know that all these things are linked. They're all linked. Physically, emotionally, financially, it all adds up to your total spirituality. Total. And we know that God is in a total transformation, not just one. I want one area and that's it. That's who I am, just one area, Misty. God is a total God. He wants wholeness. I want you blessed so much in your body that when people look at you and say, girl, you're like 25. Yes, she is, and she's mine. Emotionally, she's able to connect in a way. And financially, she's blessed because she's who she's doing life with. And not just me, but she's also to be able to be blessed financially by herself. See, some people think, well, you got to have me. You know, she can be financially blessed by herself. And then as a side point, as we get ready to close, some of you are like, let's go. No, this is good today. We're good. Okay. Listen, as a side point, some of you are single right now. You're waiting for someone to come take care of you. No. You take care of you. If God's giving you an opportunity to buy a house, buy a house. You buy a house. You get yourself in a position financially where you're okay so that when another person comes in your life, you're like, listen, I love you, but God has blessed me so much. We can do life together. But remember, a couple weeks ago, what did we say? Remember, I'm not your mom. I'm not your God, and I'm not your slave. And God calls you to do life together in a healthy way rather than the way it's done now. Please, please save me. Please save me. And what happens is physically, I need my needs met physically, please. You got money? You got a job? Okay, good. Praise God. Instead of doing that, you come in already ready to go. Stop waiting on somebody else to do it. You do it. That's one of the things God is asking us to do in this church in your life. I'm not asking you to wait on what someone else is doing and what they're going to do. I'm asking you to do it. You go out and do it. Once you begin to do that, all of a sudden your life trajectory will change and your perspective of God will change because you realize that God has given you the gifts to be able to do it and that he's not waiting on anybody else around you. He's waiting on you. Once you can get that, your life will begin to take off God will take out who he needs to take out, bring in who he needs to take in. But because your eyes on Jesus, it doesn't really matter. Stop waiting on someone else to do it. You do it. Pick up the phone. You do it. Get out. Work. Do whatever you have to do. Total spirituality. Let's stand up to our feet. I think one of the greatest stories of the Old Testament, and people could debate this, is when God called Abram. He said, get out of your country and go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't even show him. He didn't show him. Go. Great spirituality. Bible said, we'll call it immediately or the next day. He got up, took his family, and went. Wait a minute. I think Abram at that time got the realization, hold on. I'm going to die anyway. Die anyway. Certainty of death. I'm going to die. Uncertain future? Yeah. Sign me up. Because God has asked me to go. You want a certain future? You want to know, well, how's it going to work out? God said, listen, it's going to work out because I work all things out. But listen, it's not going to be the way you think. Certainty of death? Absolutely. You're going anyway. But the joy and the adventure is in the uncertainty. God, where are you taking me? And Abraham could look down now and say, man, it was like the sand in the sea and the stars in the sky, all because of one man's obedience. What is God asking you to do right now? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your love for us. God, we just accept that today. We trust in your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you, God, that the best is yet to come. We don't rely on the past and what you've done. We appreciate it. We thank you, God, for taking us through and getting us ready and bringing us to this place in our life where you can do what you need to do with us now and in the future. Thank you, God, that we can be certain of this, that you won't let us go. That the righteous will not be seen begging for bread. We can be certain that you're a good father. It's who you are. We can be certain that you keep your promises, that you want us healthy, you want us whole, and prospering, and being in good health even as our soul prospers. I thank you for soul health in here. God, I thank you for such an awareness of your presence and just healthy prosperity in our soul so that everything we touch and put our hand to prospers as a result of it, and that people look around and say, what is it that you have that I don't have? And I thank you, God, that we'll be able to say, it is you and it's your goodness as we stand aligned in you and as we remain in you. God, I thank you for an exciting future. I thank you for a destiny in you. God, we thank you for eternity, but I also thank you for now. I thank you, God, for just opportunities as they come up for your people just to strap up and jump in and say, let's go. And that you're going to lead them and guide them to where they need to go, and that they can rest in the fact that nothing they can do will ever be able to separate them from your love, and that perfect love casts out fear in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's finish out with this song today.